Hi, my name's Chris.
And I'm Becky.
And this is the Marriage Walkers podcast,
where we walk through the journey of marriage with love, service, and commitment. Welcome to episode 9, To Have and To Hold, Till Death Do Us Part. I'll choose you in better or worse. I'll choose you even when it hurts.
All right. If you haven't noticed, as we've been going through this podcast, each episode, we've talked a little bit about the marriage vows, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so on and so forth. Today, we're going to talk about how the marriage vows start and end, starting off with to have and to hold, and ending with until death do us part. I think it's really important to recognize what these things mean, how you can apply them to your marriage, and keep them top of mind as you go on living and walking through life with your spouse.
Yeah, it's really all about the responsibilities that come along with being married to somebody, whether it's to your actual marriage, to your spouse, or looking to the future.
100%. And to really like frame our mind around the responsibilities and what to have and to hold really means, I like to think about it like when you're a kid, and you get something that is yours for the first time. Some people might think back and think about getting a cell phone or a bicycle. Or for me, what comes to my mind for some reason is when I got a key to our house. You get that thing, whatever it is, and you're told from your parents, make sure you hold on to this. Make sure you don't lose it. Make sure you take care of it. There's a level of responsibility that comes with that, and there's a level of privilege, and there is a level of freedom and excitement that comes with having that thing. But I think when it comes to our marriage, we kind of lose track of to have and to hold. You have something, and you're fortunate to have that. And there is a level of responsibility to have that relationship and to have that person with you walking through life together.
I love that you say it's also a privilege. When you do have it, when you do find it, it's a privilege to have it. It's not a right. You're not just married and then that's it. And you said your vows and you're good to go. It takes investment. It takes responsibility and owning up to that and taking care of the things that you really need to take care of.
Definitely. And I think when you think about the responsibilities you have to anything that you're privileged to own, right? Think about driving, for example. Driving isn't a right. Driving is a privilege. It can be taken away from you if you break the law, you do something wrong. A car is a privilege, not a right. You have a privilege to owning a car. You have to take care of that vehicle. Anything in life that gives you joy and freedom and increases your quality of life comes with a level of responsibility. And your marriage and your spouse is no different. And I think in today's society, we live in a society that's very selfish-minded, very whatever is good for me, whatever is best for me. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of yourself. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be trying to think about how it affects you, but you're married. There's more to the equation. And there's times where you have to give a little in order to take care of your responsibilities to your spouse and to your marriage.
Absolutely. It's kind of like how we talked about in Equally Yoked, our, I think, second episode, where we had talked about how you have equal, you know, weight in this, right? You have to work together in this. And same thing, you have to both be taking the responsibility for your marriage and really working with each other to make sure that it is successful, happy, and healthy.
Of course. And I think it's really important to note too, when you have this level of responsibility, it doesn't mean that it can't be fun. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy fulfilling that responsibility. But it does mean that it needs to be a priority in your life. And we've talked a lot about that, but we've talked about it through a lens of for better or for worse, we've talked about it through the lens of in sickness, taking care of your spouse. What I want to focus on today is your day-to-day life, keeping that priority top of mind and knowing at any moment, any drop of a hat, drop of a pin, you need to be ready to get in the game. You should be 100% responsible for the connection between you and your spouse. You should be 100% committed to making sure your relationship is staying strong, making sure that you're staying close with your spouse, making sure that you're staying connected and spending time with them. And a lot of people will say 50-50, but like our good friends Johnny and Tracy said, it's not 50-50. It's 100-100. You need to give 100% to that relationship.
Stole those words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that. But the other part of it too is having that 100-100 mentality also means that you are fully committed. You're not looking away at something else outside of your marriage. You're staying honest and true. You're caring for your spouse. You're making sure, like Chris said, you have that strong connection and that you're keeping it engaged and you're keeping it fresh and healthy.
Yeah. And a lot of people would say like, okay, I get it. I have a responsibility. How do I keep it engaged? How do I keep it strong and healthy? One of the ways you keep it strong and healthy is to make sure that you're continuing to date your spouse, continuing to spend time with them, to communicate with them, to have fun with them, not just when things are bad. The conversations you have shouldn't all be a we need to talk conversation. It should be a let's go out, let's have dinner, let's do this. And that looks different throughout your marriage, and it's totally fine that it looks different.
Yeah. And as your relationship changes and as you guys progress through life, dating your spouse is definitely going to look different, right? So, for example, when we got together, it was a lot of dinner in the movies. Sometimes we would get dressed up really fancy and go to dinner and then go to a late show, whether it was this amazing magic show we saw in this tiny little theater or a concert or whatever it was. But nowadays, we've got an almost 2-year-old on our hands. So even tonight, date night was going to Red Robin and making sure that he had enough crayons to keep him busy so that we could have a conversation and be out of the house and just kind of enjoy each other in a different setting.
Absolutely. A lot of people will like put these definitions on date night, right? They'll put this like, you got to have a babysitter. You got to dress up and go out to a nice dinner. You got to do these things. If you can, awesome. Good on you. Sometimes it's just not in the card. Sometimes date night is dinner on the lawn in the backyard while the baby runs around on his Strider bike. And that's the best we can do at that time. But we're still making it a priority high enough that we're spending the time together. We're having conversation. We're investing in our relationship and in our intimacy. And if you're not doing that, you really need to think about where your marriage is at and where you'd like it to be at. Because it doesn't matter who you are. There is going to be a storm coming. There's going to be something that's going to pop up. You're going to have a fight. You're going to have a disagreement. There's going to be something that drives a wedge between you. That relationship needs to be strong. And the best way you can build a relationship is through time, investing time with your spouse.
For sure. And showing them the love that they need, like we talked about, and to love and to cherish. There's the way that you need to connect with them to really build that solid foundation. And kind of like Chris was saying, there's so many pressures put on to have a good time with your spouse. And it doesn't need to be like that. It just needs to be those little things that build up over time that really make the big difference. And then another thing is really being there for your spouse. And not just, oh, hey, how's your day? But being their first person that they want to go to, being their ultimate support system. Sometimes that means saying, hey, let's reevaluate and make sure we're making good decisions. But overall, you're supporting them because you want to make sure that they are living their best life and that they are moving in a positive direction that's going to take you guys all the way to the future.
Yeah. And a lot of the times I hear people say things like, his happiness or her happiness isn't your responsibility, or their success is up to them, or things like that. And when you're in a marriage, I got to kind of somewhat disagree with that, because your spouse's happiness is not only your responsibility. They need to invest in their own happiness too, but you need to be the first one in line to help them with that.
And I think that for you to be truly happy as one half of a married couple, if they're unhappy, how can you be truly happy if you see the person that you love most in the world suffering a bit?
Yeah. And that's a good point too. Like, the selfish mindset of I need to do what's best for me and whatever is going on with them is their problem. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't really ring true if you truly care for and love that person. It hurts to watch somebody struggle. So you should want to help them, first of all, but also you need to recognize it's your responsibility to be there for them. It's your responsibility to lift them up. And any and every couple is going to run through a whole bunch of different issues and struggles throughout a marriage. And any person is going to run through issues and struggles throughout their life. We are privileged to go through those things with a support system, with a spouse that's going to walk through it with you, with your first mate that's right there ready to go to do whatever you need them to do to help you get through what you're getting through. So if we have that privilege from our spouse, when it's their turn, we need to do the same for them. And if you're not doing that, you really need to take a step back, reevaluate the vows you took, the promise you made, and get in the game.
Yeah. A marriage needs fully engaged players, right? You need to both really be there for each other. And again, there's so many different ways to be there for your spouse. There's spending that quality time that's needed. There's showing them appreciation. There's physical intimacy that helps build that emotional connection. There's so many different ways for you to engage with your spouse, show them they're loved, really be there in a meaningful way for them. And sometimes there's rough patches and you guys are just kind of mismatched on what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, but leaving those lines of communication open, having those harder discussions lead you to those clearer paths, those sunny days for when you are kind of realigned and moving forward together again.
Absolutely. And the thing about marriage is this is where marriage changes from dating somebody and being married to somebody. When you're dating somebody, it's like a preseason game for whatever sport you're playing, where if things don't go well or you screw it up or the game gets lost or whatever happens, it's no big deal. Then you get married and these things really count. And dating is an area where if things don't go well or a relationship fails or something like that, no harm, no foul, dust it off and move on. When you get married, that's not the same. You have to look at things differently. You have to look at things with a level of responsibility like you would from the difference of a preseason game to an in-season game where things really do matter. You don't get any second chances. Like, if things aren't going well, you don't step up to the plate during something. you can always fix it down the road. You can always repair it. Where we live in a world of forgiveness and grace and opportunity to work with each other. However, you can't go back. When your spouse is going through a hard time and you're not there, you can repair your relationship, but that missed opportunity to be there is always going to be there. You can't go back and say, oh, I should have done this. Let me go do it now. It's too late. And I think it's important to keep that mindset of this is a responsibility. And every moment I have with my spouse, every struggle we go through is an opportunity to do the right thing, to provide them service, to provide them love, to show them commitment, or to do the wrong thing and not provide those things. And even after forgiveness, it doesn't go away that you didn't do the right thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't undo things. And there's the whole hindsight is 20/20. I should have done this. I should have done that. But at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you're choosing your spouse, that you're really staying committed to that marriage, to your person, and that you're really making it so that they are your guiding light. You know, you need to make sure that the two of you are strong together. And when you're not, it's an opportunity to get fixed. But in the long run, you need to make sure that they are your priority, and then you need to be their priority.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's important to note, like, we're all going to fail at some point in our marriage. And how do we respond when that happens? How do we respond when we don't fulfill our responsibilities to our spouse? Well, you fix it. And how you fix it depends on the situation. But I can tell you the number one thing that's going to be involved in fixing it every single time is communicating with your spouse and putting work into the relationship. So if you fail to fulfill your responsibility to your vehicle and you don't change the brake pads, even though you knew you should have, and then the rotors get warped, and then every time you step on the brakes, the whole car shakes, what do you do? You can't go back. You can't go back and change them before it warped the rotors, but you can fix it. You can take it to a mechanic. You can get the rotors turned. You can put new rotors on. There's things you can do to resolve it, and your marriage is no different. You can get marriage counseling. You can sit down and speak with your spouse. You can invest time, effort, and energy. You want to fulfill your responsibilities to your spouse. You want to be there for them. You want to support them. You want to invest time in your relationship so you're taking care of it. You want to fulfill all of their physical, mental, emotional needs. However, when you do fall short, you fix it. You don't say, okay, I screwed up and now it's all over. You fix it. You move forward. It's one of those things you don't get any do-overs, but because we do have the blessing of somebody that's committed to us, we do have that opportunity to resolve it. It's just putting the work in.
For sure. And like we've said probably countless times by now, definitely the incorrect answer is walking away. Don't give up. It's hard. It sucks sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. And I mean, even sometimes it's just little things that can be fixed fairly quickly. For example, before recording this, we were talking about recording this and my brain just turned off. So we stopped recording, talked it through, and now we're back on track. It's just taking that moment to recognize what's going on rather than getting frustrated. Take a moment and then readjust and move forward again.
Absolutely. And when we talk about giving up, we're not only talking about walking away. We're also talking about some really, really dangerous words. She'll get over it. Or he'll get over it. And you just walk away and you leave it to them. that is not an approach you want to take to your marriage. That's not fulfilling your responsibilities to repair it. That's putting all your responsibilities for your relationship on your spouse, and that's not fair.
Yeah, another one is, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Oh, it's fine. It doesn't matter. We'll just move on. And ignoring problems never seems to fix them.
Definitely. That's another little note for a future episode when we talk about communication. Words like just, or
always,
always, or he will, or she will,
or won't,
or won't. Those are dangerous phrases, and those are things that should throw a red flag. If it's not a big deal, it's just whatever, or they'll get over it. They will, she will, he will. When you're projecting their work into the relationship onto them with an expectation of what they're going to do to solve your problems, you need to reevaluate. Okay, I'm expecting this of my spouse, but I'm 50% of this equation and I'm supposed to give 100% effort towards it. What am I doing? And if you're just expecting them to move past a problem without you doing anything to resolve it, that's not fair. That's not fair to them. That's not fair to your marriage. And it's really not fair to yourself, because you're taking from something that you're not investing in. And a big part of a relationship, of a marriage, of any love that you have anywhere, is your investment. You put yourself into it, and that is how you get more out of it.
It's also what makes it so scary, but so worth it. Because if you are invested, if you are trying, if you're making changes, and maybe it's not received at first, but if you're putting that effort in, if you're really reevaluating what you're doing, changing course, trying to find something that works, it's going to get noticed. And if you just expect your spouse to just, I don't know, magically read your mind, ladies, are we not guilty of this so often with our husbands, where he should have known? There's that should word again, right? So we just need to make sure that we're being careful and giving our spouse the same consideration that we want them to give us.
Definitely. And that's where that golden rule of treat others how you want to be treated, that should be in all walks of your life with every person, but that definitely should be top of mind with your spouse. Treat your spouse how you want your spouse to treat you. If you expect your spouse to be forgiving, you better be forgiving. If you expect your spouse to be loving, you better be loving. If you expect your spouse to reach out, to initiate, to do things, you better do the same. And we are all guilty of not doing that at times. And being humble enough to look at yourself and say, where am I falling short? What responsibilities am I not fulfilling? And then working towards fulfilling those responsibilities is a huge part of having a happy and successful marriage.
One of the other big things about making sure that you're considering your spouse and that you're working together is making big decisions together. Again, we're so often very self-focused and very, you know, egocentric. And when we have big life decisions, I've heard on several occasions, and again, it's in the media, it's in movies and TV shows, like, you made this big decision and you didn't even talk to me about it. That's not how it should be, you know, especially if it's something that's going to affect your marriage or affect you personally or financially, whatever it is. Like, even if it doesn't have an effect on your spouse, it's going to change something. So ultimately it will.
Absolutely. And I think that really comes to the level of responsibility that you have for the future. Your marriage gives you a new level of responsibility to your future, because we're all responsible to our future. The decisions we make affect tomorrow. But now you're 50% of this lifelong bond and this lifelong equation So whatever decision you make, even if you think it won't affect your spouse, it does. You have a responsibility to their future, to your future, and to the future of your relationship. Financially, physically, mentally, everything you do now affects another person. And it affects the future that you have with that person. And if you live to serve your spouse like you should, and they live to serve you, every decision that is made should include the others' opinions, the others' feelings, and thought of how the other is going to be impacted. If you expect your spouse to think about you before they do something, you better think about them before you do something.
I feel like I am pretty guilty, not pretty guilty, but I am guilty of sometimes making decisions and then thinking them through and going, oh man, that maybe wasn't my best idea because now XYZ is going to happen to Chris. And so either I need to backpedal or I need to adjust. And it's one of those skills that you're just going to, like every other skill, every other muscle, you have to work at it. You have to use it and get comfortable with it and really practice making that part of your conscious efforts and conscious decisions while you're moving forward in life.
Yeah. And I'm guilty myself of, I'll reach out to Becky, but I don't always reach out with the most considerate approach. Something that I often do, I don't know if it's from volunteering in the fire service as young as I did, or if it's from being in management positions so many times. But often when I'm going to do something that's going to make a huge change to our life, the conversation with Becky will go something like this. Hey, I'm going to buy this thing. Okay, is that all right? It's not, hey, how do you feel? Or, hey, what do you think about this? It's, hey, I'm going to do this. Okay.
And then I feel like I either have to come in and be the bad guy and be like, no, or I come in with a million questions because I wasn't part of the decision process, which sometimes is received. Sometimes he's already like made up on his mind and he wants to move forward with this thing. And then those questions are met with resistance, or I'm going through the same thought processes he's already finished going through. Because Chris is a thinker. He thinks everything through from every single scenario, every single angle. And a lot of times in those moments, I'm playing catch up. So I'll ask him the same exact questions he was asking himself. He's like, I already did this. We already done that. Like, that's already done. And so sometimes that'll lead to a bit of strife in our conversations because we didn't put each other necessarily first. And again, I've also done the same thing to him.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to admit that. And I think that it's important that we admit that to you because, like we've said, we're not perfect. We're still learning. However, I feel like we're doing pretty good together and we're good at recognizing like, hey, this is one of my downfalls. This is something I'm still working on. The thought that comes to mind or the phrase that comes to mind when I talk to Becky about things like that is something that was drilled into me because I was a leader at a young age. So I was taught the phrase command presence. So when you make a decision, you have a command presence. So I make a decision in my mind and I come to my wife with this quote unquote command presence. That is a downfall of mine. And it's something I need to work on. And when I fail to fulfill the responsibility of including my wife with those decisions before I come in with a command presence, basically telling her what I'm going to do, I'm failing to fulfill my half of the responsibilities to our relationship and to our future. And because I can recognize that, because I see it, it helps me prevent it in the future. And it also helps me when I do slip up, catch it. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second. She's asking a lot of questions. How did I phrase that? What did I say? Why did I say it that way? Why didn't I talk to her first? I need to question myself. And this is going to make you a better husband or a better wife. It's going to make you a better person in general. It's going to make you a better friend, better employee. It will increase your value throughout your entire life if you're able to recognize your mistakes, take a step back, and ask yourself, where did I screw up? What did I do wrong? How could I have done it better?
And then the other very important step to take is owning it. So for me, I have made mistakes, well, you know, many a time because we're humans. And it's just being able to say, look, I'm sorry. Let me back up, explain what's going on. And I think just in general, people appreciate the why behind things. So if you do have a big decision to make, or if you do have something that you want to do, and approaching your spouse with the why I want to do this, or this is how I came to this decision, is a lot of times way better received, because then they understand what's going on and then they can respond appropriately.
100%. And I think a big part of having conversations with your spouse about your future, there's some phrases that I try to use that really help me communicate correctly. The start of a sentence or the start of a communication is key to where that conversation goes. So I often start conversations about things I want to do or changes I want to make with the key phrase of, hey, I have been thinking about, and then I continue to speak. If I say, hey, I have been thinking about buying a truck, and I looked at this truck, and this is what it looks like, and this is how many miles are on it, and this is the situation, that is a very different conversation than me calling my wife and saying, hey, babe, I found this truck. It's got 100,000 miles on it. I'm going to buy it, okay? Those are very two different conversations. One of them is withholding my responsibility to the future of our marriage and having a conversation and getting my wife's buy-in. The other one is command presence and telling her what I'm going to do and basically giving her an opportunity to object, but not really including her in it.
Yes, those are very different conversations. And I can only imagine you guys hearing that and me hearing that. There's two very different reactions that come out of those conversations. And knowing how to communicate with your spouse and knowing how to have them be included is going to help you have that lifelong marriage. It's going to have you have that fully committed, healthy marriage all the way to the end, till death do you part.
Definitely. And so to kind of recap on the conversation we're having here, right? We're talking about the responsibilities you have to your relationship, keeping it close, investing your time, your effort, your energy into that relationship. We're talking about the physical intimacy, the emotional intimacy, the connection you have. We're talking about your responsibility to your spouse, to support them in their ambitions, to support them in their struggles, to help them with their issues and their flaws, to be that number one first person that they can always go to. And we're talking about your responsibility to the future, whether that is decisions you make today about the future, whether that is changes in your future employment, your finances, your physical well-being, also planning for your future. What are you doing to make sure that not just yourself, but your spouse is taken care of in the future, regardless of what happens? And this is something we've been working on recently, which is kind of a depressing topic to think about. But if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, what have I done to set my wife up for success or for the future financially, emotionally? Like, what have I done?
It's definitely a scary topic, and it's a hard one to have. And a lot of times we're kind of conditioned to think, oh, we'll talk about it when we're older. Well, I hate to break it to you, but every second passing, you're getting a little bit older, and it doesn't hurt to have a plan. It's actually usually going to help to have a plan. And it doesn't have to be something as scary and sad as death, but if you get hit by a bus, you could survive, but it's going to be expensive and hard and scary. And being able to look back on those moments where you came together, where you pushed through hard things, gives you hope.
Definitely. And I think that it's important that you say that, like, if you get hit by a bus, you could survive. I mean, estate planning for if you die and making sure that you have life insurance or something in place to take care of your spouse is one thing. But also, if something happens to you, do you have medical insurance? Do you have a network of people around you that are going to help take care of you and take care of your spouse? And if you have kids, who's going to take care of your kids? Those are all important things. And I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time here, but I do think that it's worth noting in a conversation that we're having about in relationship until death do you part and in responsibility to your spouse, because it is your responsibility to make sure that they're going to be okay. I hate to put that weight on your shoulders. There's plenty of good, wonderful things that come from a marriage, but it's also something that provides you a level of security. It provides your spouse with a level of security. And I think that it's important that we at least think about it.
It's kind of like the last gift you can give your spouse if it is a death situation. But I mean, it is important, and it really makes you think about your lifelong commitment and your longevity of your relationship and of your marriage when you're thinking about those things and making those big plans for the future and making sure that at the end of the day, the one that you love the most is taken care of.
Absolutely. And I think as we kind of get towards the end of this conversation here, something I really want to note, when you frame the thought of a responsibility to your marriage and to your spouse into your everyday life, when that is a part of what you do and what your life is, you don't look at getting your wife flowers or taking your wife out on a date or making time to hear about their day. You don't look at it as optional anymore. And that is key to a successful future. Some people will get into a habit or get into a lifestyle where they're not having dinner with their spouse regularly and talking about things. They're not getting their wife flowers, telling them they're beautiful, telling them they're sexy, having these conversations. When their spouse is having a bad day or when they do something that upsets them, they think, oh, she'll get over it. And they look at the work as an option. I could put myself in this uncomfortable situation and have a conversation about why she's upset, or I could let her get over it. When you start framing your marriage as a privilege, and that privilege has responsibilities that go along with it, those things are no longer optional, which if you have that mindset and you continue to carry out your responsibilities, it almost guarantees you success.
Yeah. And I was going to say, it is a privilege. It is a privilege to be married to your spouse. And with that privilege, there comes some pride that you have that privilege. There comes that responsibility that you want to take care of it, that you want to honor, that you are worthy of that privilege, and making sure that you are reflecting that in your marriage and towards your spouse and saying, like, I am so privileged to have you as my husband or you as my wife, and really shifting your mindset to that makes an enormous difference. And it helps you put them first when you're making those decisions, and it helps you be the best support system that you can, and it helps you stay committed and loving and just full of a service mindset.
Absolutely. And I'm going to share something with y'all that I don't know if I've even shared this with my wife. It's something that I do on a regular basis, and I'm going to ask you all to think about it and do this. And something that I've done for a long time is I make it a point to sit down every now and then and put down my responsibilities to my wife on a piece of paper and really think about what is my responsibility this week to make sure that our connection stays close? That's number one. I'm going to challenge everybody here to just put down one, two, or three things that you can do. They don't have to be big, but something that is a responsibility to your spouse to have a conversation that week, to tell them you love them, to tell them they're sexy. Put those things down on paper. The other thing that I do regularly, and I really suggest everybody does this, I want you to recognize that your spouse and your marriage is a privilege. And sometime this week, I want you to go to your spouse and I want you to say, thank you for being my wife or being my husband. Thank you for sharing your life with me. Recognizing it's a privilege and thanking them for being a part of that and gifting you the opportunity to be their life partner, it puts a level of connection and intimacy into your relationship. And it also recognizes, like, this is a gift. I am lucky to be here.
I didn't know that you did that, babe. That's really sweet. So I guess thank you for being such a wonderful husband to me. Mush, mush, mush. But it is. It truly is a gift. And the nice thing is, it's really fun to get gifts. And you get to give that gift to them too. So just keep that in mind.
Absolutely. I do want to talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing next week. So next week is going to be episode 10, and we're going to wrap up this season, the season of the vow series, we're calling it, where we walk through the vows. I've gotten a few questions from some people. I've talked to a few people about the podcast, and they've asked some cool questions that I'd like to talk about. And I'm going to ask all of you to really think, do you have questions about me and Becky and about our marriage? Do you have questions about the topics we've talked about? One of the books or one of the people we've referenced or some of the people we've had on. And if you do have those questions, get them to us. Send us an email. Shoot us a text. If you know us, give us a call. Put it on one of our social medias. Next week, we're going to walk through all the questions we've gotten throughout the season. We're going to talk about each one of them. We're going to tell you a little bit about us, some questions people have asked us about us, and we're going to wrap up the vow series before we dive into the next season.
I am actually super excited and super nervous about having questions, but I really am looking forward to really hearing from you guys and seeing what made an impact or what do you disagree with us on? We absolutely want to hear about that too. It's not all sunshine and roses. We want to know that if you have a different opinion, what's your different opinion? And we want to hear, like, why you think that way. And maybe we can have a discussion about it. And I'm also excited for you guys to get to know us a little bit more personally. We've kind of obviously peppered some stories about ourselves within these last few episodes. But anything that you guys are curious about, within limits that are appropriate, we will be happy to answer. And if there is anything that we can do to help you strengthen your marriage or find a way to connect with your partner, maybe, like he said, it is just a resource or something, we want to know how that we can best help you guys. So please feel free, marriagewalkers@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. I think we even have a Twitter if you can find it. Whatever way is easiest for you to reach out to us, do it. We're excited for it.
Absolutely. I'm super excited for it. And I also want to throw in there too, talking about disagreements. Disagreements are just as or more exciting to me than people that agree with me. The reason I say that is because a lot of people look at a disagreement as a confrontation or as a struggle or as a problem. I look at a disagreement as an opportunity for me to grow. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. If you think differently, tell me what you think and why. And I'm happy to have that conversation. There's a lot of things that I'm really, really convicted in that I believe in deeply. And I will explain my situation and we may not come to terms and we may not agree. And that's okay. But if you have a disagreement, let us know. If you have an agreement, let us know. And if you have a silly, weird question that you want to ask us and you want to hear an answer to, like, do we fold or roll our toilet paper? Whatever you want, I'm down. Ask.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we just, again, I know we said it last time, but we just want to thank you guys so much for coming on this journey with us and really letting us explore marriage. And just to reiterate one more time, we're definitely not experts. We don't claim to know everything. We don't have everything right, but we're trying. And we're just hoping that we're inspiring you guys to try a little too.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great week. We can't wait to see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Every chance that I take, you'll never be sick.